Amen. Thank you, Riley. Always lead us so well in that. Good morning, Moffitts.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
You nervous, Rachel?
You need to turn the microphone off.
She turned the microphone off intentionally. hey, Crossroads. So this is a happy but sad day because we're saying goodbye to the Moffitts. And it's happy because we get to have a moment here, which I think is going to be really enjoyable for all of us, to reflect on the Moffitts, their lives, how God has been faithful. I think that's a theme that you're going to see emerge from this morning, is just the faithfulness of the Lord. And not just exclusively to the Moffitts, it's the same faithfulness he demonstrates to all of us. But it'll be fun to see that in their story. But then we have to send you off. And when do you guys leave town?
We leave California on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
And then we fly out this day next week.
Wow. Okay, so here's where I actually want us to begin, because we want to get into your story. And I think we want to hear about your experience coming to California and being a part of this community of believers here and what the Lord's taught you, some of the lessons you've learned. But there's a lot that I know the Lord's been shaping you and your family. But I think the Lord's going to use your story to shape us as well. And so I've got some questions for you, and we'll go through that journey. But can you start by telling us where you're going? And tell us a little bit about the church there. And I don't know, you know, break some of the stereotypes of Northern Ireland. Help us get into that world. The Lord has given us a bit of Northern Ireland this last week here in Los Angeles with the rain, right?
Yeah.
Because he walked out, it was pouring down rain for 6 hours. He said, oh, what a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
So where are you guys headed?
So we are headed back, as Jeremy said, to Northern Ireland. 5,500 miles on the other side of the world, part of the UK. Northern Ireland is a separate country to the Republic of Ireland. Just putting that out there.
You always have to say that for three years.
But we are British, and we are heading back to a church of about 300 people. Baptist church. It's been established for roughly 100 years. And they had a pastor for 25 years, and he has just retired. And then roughly about 18 months or 2 years ago, they called me to be their pastor. And so I was on the four-year MDiv track in TMS, and I had to speak with professors and do a lot of moving about, and we cut that back to 3 years. And they've asked me to come and be their pastor starting January 4. So we'll have about a month when we get home to rebuild our home and try and figure that out. All our stuff is in storage at the moment, has been for 3 years, so we don't know what that looks like. But we still have our home, so at least we've got four walls. And we move back on December 1st, and then we head back to that church. And the church is, God has really been really kind to us in providing this church for us. There are people who love the Lord. A great demographic, like a mixed demographic of people, older, younger, kids, really strong eldership. But one of the things that the church needs is it's kind of apathetical a little bit. And so when it's been in a stable place for so long and, you know, going through the same motions every week, apathy can creep in. And that's a good lesson to all of us, to be keeping our walk continually fresh with the Lord. So I'm not walking in that I know of, do any ticking time bombs. I don't think the church is going to blow up. But I think the church needs encouraged. They need to continue to grow in the Lord. We're excited to jump in there on January 4.
Are you excited, Rachel?
Yeah, it's daunting to go back into pastoral ministry. If you are ever in any kind of ministry, you know that it can be hard. But I'm excited to get to know the ladies there and get started.
Yeah, you say go back into pastoral ministry. The reality of your time here in America, it's just been over 3 years, has been one of faithful ministry. We had a little going away party for some of the folks up in Santa Clarita last week, and somebody noted it. I don't know if it was Corey Williams or someone else said, virtually every time they pull up to the Master's University on early morning, one of the two of you, if not both of you, are out there with a student or two. Bible's open, a cup of coffee. You guys have faithfully discipled. You've poured into many of the people in this room. So you've been in ministry this whole time. But I get what you mean, going back into this formal office of pastoral ministry. Okay, let's rewind a little bit. Take us back 3 years. How did the Lord lead you here? Why did you come? And it wasn't just because Andrew Curry, you know, is a fellow Irishman, and he said, there's a pot of gold in California. What was it that...
That's what I was sold. Or at Beach House in Laguna, either way.
Yeah. So prior to coming to TMS, I had been a pastor for 7 years in a similar-sized church to the one I'm going to. And I was ordained at 26, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And that's a longer story. We might get into some of that. But I had been in that ministry or in that church for almost 7 years. And as Rachel has said, you know, ministry's hard, and particularly pastoral ministry in a small church is difficult. And I had come from a non-academic background when it comes to theology and church life. You know, I came from a world where the elders and the men within the church, they make the next generation of men. And so there's no need to go to seminary per se. But God was really kind that he gave me good and godly pastors in my life who encouraged gift and who give me opportunity. And so God led me into that ministry. And for that period of time, we served. But I was trying to fill up my knowledge and also pour out at the same time. And it was really hard to try and form all my like hermeneutics, how I was studying the Bible, my theology. Like I have been so blessed to be well taught. But to be trying to then take that to a level where you're trying to shepherd God's people while inform your own soul, I mean, it was difficult. And you know, I want to break down a stereotype. Pastors don't just sit in their study all week and just sit with God's word, and they don't leave until Sunday comes again. You know, you're interacting with people, weddings, funerals, counseling, meetings. And so it's stretching and it's challenging. And when we first went into the church, it was just the two of us. We didn't have any kids. Then Jonah came along, and that was an extra dynamic that we hadn't worked through before in ministry. And then COVID hit, and... You know, I carried the church with the other elders through COVID, and I'd come through a particularly difficult season. We had a number of deaths in the church, so I'd performed quite a number of funerals over a short period of time. God's people were in a state of flux. They didn't know what was happening. The government was making all kinds of rules and regulations that were changing every week. And it's just a really, really trying season. And Rachel kept warning me that I didn't look good, and things were starting to spiral a little bit in my ministry, in my personal life, in just exhaustion. But I kept going. So there's a lesson, like, get a good wife and listen to her because she always knows best. Yeah. But I tried to push on, and eventually it came to a head in February 2021. I pretty much had a complete breakdown. Physically, mentally, I just was completely exhausted, stressed. It had taken a toll on my physical health. It had taken a toll on our family. And something happened at that time. God, you know, took me out of the pulpit for 8 weeks. And thankfully, I recovered, and I went back into the pulpit again for another 18 months. But I knew at that point something had to change. And I think it was at that point, through conversations with Rachel and assessment and with my own pastor, that I needed a reset of some kind, and I didn't quite know what that was. And by God's providence, he brought into my life Andrew Curry. And I think, Jeremy, you said something earlier about us being part of a community, and I just want to stress that. Before February 2021, I didn't really have a community. I was all in at the church. We had our marriage, which was great, but I didn't have a lot outside of that. And God brought me Andrew, and Andrew brought me into a little fraternal of pastors. And through various conversations with him, it came to the place where I realized if I was going to endure in ministry, I needed time out of the pulpit, and I needed time to go away and to lay a foundation. If I was going to do this the rest of my life, what was 3 or 4 years? I was only 32. So what was, like, if I was going to do this, I was 70 or 80 in God's will, what was 3, 4 years away studying God's word? And so God began, I would say, to loosen the tent pegs, as it were. And I think just a lesson to all of us, you know, we can be so precious about the ministry that we're involved in and the pulpit maybe we're in or whatever it is. And I just want to encourage you guys, hold that with an open hand and always be willing to allow the Lord to refine you and make you and take you in a direction you never thought that, that you would go. And so it was that firm conviction now. February 22, that kind of fast forwarding a year, that was like a year-long process. February 2022, I remember lying in bed late one night, scrolling on my phone on the Master Seminary website. And do you know the way they say, like, you should never do, like, an impulse buy at night? I started filling the application form in because I had had conversations with Andrew and a couple of other things. And I sent the initial, I think there's a thing on the TMS website, like, speak with a counselor. And you fill in, like, an initial application and then you send it. So when we woke up the next morning, I said to Rachel, I might have expressed interest in a seminary in Los Angeles, and that began 9 months of an interesting period in our marriage. Right,
Rachel, take us back to that moment. What did, what was the
Should
first
I
thought
slander
in your mind?
My husband. Yeah. okay, let me just think for the right word. So Stephen normally will. He's an external processor, and normally...
No.
You know, it's a real big shock. And normally what's happening in Stephen's brain, like, you know all about it, it's fine. He talks with you over and over and over again. But with this, he didn't speak to me about it. He just spoke to Andrew. And so whenever he told me, like, he was thinking about it, he's also a bit of a guy that has ideas and never follows through. So I was in between this guy's crazy and it's okay, it'll never happen.
This is great.
So, yeah, it didn't go well. But I think, can remember one.
Did you guys have an argument over your Lucky Charms that morning?
We have, yeah. The leprechaun in the corner.
Yeah.
Do you know that? So Lucky Charms.
No marshmallows for you.
Okay, hang on. I tried to coach Austin up on this as well. Lucky Charms don't exist in Northern Ireland. They're not a product of Ireland. In fact, they're imported and they're $8 a box.
Wow.
So, like, they're imported in, so...
Robbing their own people.
You can be
I
sure...
just say that he's distracting you all from, like...
Okay, but so here's actually a really good thing to camp on for a moment, because... and this is... I want to come back to the community you mentioned, but let's talk about decision-making for a second, because... You're looking at a room of hundreds of young people who have either just come out of making a massive decision, they've just left home to go to a university. In the midst of their time in university, they're making all sorts of decisions about what major do I go down, what friend group am I involved in, who am I, a lot of these big questions. And then there's many in this room who are about to make other large decisions. Do I go with this firm? Do I go move over here? Do I move back home? There's finances, relationships, all of this. And when he wakes up and tells you, oh, by the way, Los Angeles Seminary, there's so many aspects of life coming down into that conversation. What was that like over the next 9 months? How did the two of you, as a team, start thinking, okay, are we really going to do this? Because that's where crazy ideas begin, is a mention of it, like, this is crazy. Let me just say it. And then before you know it, months later or years later, it's reality. And that's what happened with you guys. So walk us through and just thinking about, there's a lot of decisions coming from Ireland to America, but you know what I mean.
A verse that became very, very dear to my heart was Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And then in Proverbs 16:9, you know, the man plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. And I think that I had become so convinced in my own heart that this was the right thing to do. My motives were pure. I wanted to honor the Lord, and I wanted to endure in ministry. I had made a commitment that I wanted to be in pastoral ministry, that's what I wanted to do. And I think that was the first thing. You've got to check your motives. You've got to check, you know, what is your motivation for doing what you're about to do? You know, is it selfish gain? Are you genuinely trying to honor the Lord? And you begin to then think through and search your own heart. And I had a lot of that. You know, I had a lot of, like, heart processing. And I think over the 9 months of making that decision, I say that's the other thing. You know, we took our time. I'm impulsive. Rachel's not. And that's good because I needed her to slow me down, and I needed to speed her up in that. But I think it was like, you know, I had to check my motives that was right. And also, I seen the value of good counsel, of speaking with other counselors, older, wise men who knew me, knew my desires, and had affirmed the calling in my life. And so I talked it through with them and like what was the right thing to do. But it did take a while to get on board, right? You mean, you want to talk a little bit about that?
I remember one conversation that we had about it. He was like, you know, I just think back to the disciples on the boat and they all seen Jesus walking towards them. They were all able to see Jesus and experience Jesus, but it was Peter that took the step of faith and he felt Jesus and he was shown his power. And I was like, I'm really happy on the boat, Stephen. I'm happy to just see him.
Yeah, and I think that was a good thing. We were on two different pages, and there's only been a few things in my life that I've been absolutely certain about that I knew right from the start. And one was marrying Rachel. The second was going to the church that we came from. And the third was coming to seminary. The Lord had put it on my heart, I believe. But I have to confess to you guys, and I want this to be a lesson to you all and to the married people in here. I sit here as someone who didn't lead my wife very well. And I say that on this side, and I'm trying to be honest about that because I wasn't patient with her. I didn't take a lot of her feelings into consideration. I got a tunnel vision that, like, I knew this was the right thing for me to do. And I want to encourage you guys, particularly the man here, whenever you're married and you're what it means to lead your wife, it means to be patient with her, and it means to be considerate of her feelings and the things that she was going through. And Rachel was thinking about a lot of things that I wasn't thinking about, and bringing a lot of things to the table I didn't want to deal with on a very practical level as a wife and a mother. But yeah, working through the actual leading on that, like it took a while.
God was really kind and God gave me time too. And my heart wasn't right. I didn't want to leave my family. I didn't want to leave my job. We just moved into a brand new house. There was a lot of things that just were really hard to do. Plus, I didn't really understand he had done the job. Could you imagine, like, if you said, Riley, you've led worship for 7 years, but I want you to go learn how to do that and then come back to do it. It didn't make sense then as to why he needed to leave the job that he was doing with a church that was growing. And yes, he had the breakdown and I understood that. But at the same time, if he had listened to my advice, then he would have taken the time off or delegated a bit better. So I was kind of thinking practically, but God was kind to kind of show me that the things that I was thinking about, the leaving family, that wasn't biblical or scriptural. And God used the Bible to speak to us. And even the story of Abraham and the sacrifice, that he was willing to sacrifice his own son because of his faith and because God had told him to do it. Where was I placing God? Because God was definitely below my family at that time, and God really helped me, and Stephen came along. And communication's always really important. I'm an internal thinker, so I don't speak where Stephen speaks too much. So we got to find the balance. So I think that we learned a lot within our marriage of what we're doing wrong as well.
And I think that whole application process, I want to take you through that a little bit. Rachel and I, from we met and knew we were going to get married, we've tried to hold our life with an open hand, and we've always tried to just commit our way to the Lord, and we've kind of said, look, our marriage, our lives, our ministry, it's not ours, Lord, it's yours. Like, what do you want? What do you want from us? And we've tried to let providence be, you know, direct our path as much as we can. And there comes a point where faith involves making a decision where you don't fully see, like you don't fully know exactly what's going to happen. But that's faith. It's things unseen. And we decided, I remember Rachel giving me her blessing. I was a bit like a puppy, like asking, can I do it now? Can I do it now? Can I do it now? About actually submitting the final application, because I had talked with the counselors. I had talked to Andrew. And I was like, it would be really bad for me to apply without my wife's blessing, because she's got to fill in like a wife's pastoral thing, so, or like a reference. So I thought, I need her some way on my team. So it was like, can I do it now? 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 And we kind of got to the place where we thought, at the end of the day, an application isn't a commitment. An application is just the next thing. And I want to encourage you guys, as you're thinking about God's leading in your life and what's you know, what's my career going to be? Who am I going to date? What am I going to do? We would just say, do the next thing. Just do what's in front of you. Just do the next thing and let the Lord take care of the path that's coming down the road. And so we sought to do the next thing, which was make that official application. And doing the application, once we sent it in, we then got the reply, you've been accepted. And I was like, oh. So I was all for it until then it started to become real. And I was like, uh-oh, okay. Is this going to actually work out? Like, the Lord's going to call me on my faith here? Like, is this going to work out? So we received the offer. And when TMS sends you the offer, they also attach with it for international students, hey, you're required to raise X amount of dollars for you to survive here. And I went, oh, I had planned to come to so I had planned to come to seminary and work in Amazon or Walmart, and like that was kind of how we were going to survive. And like Rachel would get a job like babysitting or whatever. She had been a teacher, and then we realized that the U.S. immigration on F1 students is the most restrictive. You can work 20 hours per week. It has to be on-campus employment. Rachel can't work, and we don't get any of the benefits. And I had a figure on the page that I had to meet, and I'm going, okay, I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do, but I have no ability, like none whatsoever, to make this money. And I remember talking to Rachel's mom and dad about this and talking to Rachel's dad about, you know, I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. And he was kind of like, well, how are you going to provide for my daughter and my two grandkids? And I was like, well, the Lord will provide. And he's like, yeah, I mean, they love the Lord and, you know, solid believers, mature in their faith, but it's like, you're taking my daughter and my two grandkids across the world on like, the Lord will provide. You need to have a little bit more than that. So it was like, okay, I needed to start then thinking about how is this going to work? And I can say, like, we have been just humbled at that, from that moment that we began to look at this as an option, just the way the Lord provided. The Lord put people in my life and has done from I was young, all these people who have shaped my life. And he gave me Andrew, and Andrew kind of holds the key to the Kingdom of Grace Community Church. Andrew knows everybody. Like, there's nobody here that doesn't know Andrew Curry in some capacity. And Andrew's relationships and his testimony here was, again, something that the Lord used to open up people to me. And I remember sending an email to this guy called Austin Duncan. Never heard of him in my life. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know what he looked like. Oh, by the way, we had never been here. We came here on honeymoon, but we didn't come to Grace Community Church. We didn't come to TMS. So we had never seen anything around here. So I remember I sent Austin an email. I said, hey, I'm a friend of Andrew Curry's. Coming out to possibly to TMS. Can we have a chat? And we we had a FaceTime call. And Austin said to me, I want you to get yourself here and we will do everything to look after you and your family. And we sit here as testimony that Austin, TMS, Grace Community Church, and people I can look around here today, you have been God's shepherds in our lives. And I want to pay testimony to the community of Grace Community Church and the Master Seminary who have provided for us. And we met that threshold. And we, last month, paid our last rent payment. And the crazy thing is, in my salary that I make in Grace Church and TMS because of restrictions, I never made enough per month to cover our rent. And it's hard to leave the boat. And it's hard to leave a comfortable life. But when you take the step to follow the Lord's will, it's incredible how he provides. So we've kind of like jumped around a little bit there, but that was part of the Lord provided everything we needed, right?
There is so much beautiful reality there on the Lord's provision. Two things I just want to highlight that you said, and you said it so well, but I'll just translate real quick. One is, you know, there are, I know, as I'm looking out here, I see some of you who I've talked to who are making hard decisions right now, and you don't know what's around the corner. That's part of the difficulty of the decision and how God designed it. He doesn't want you to see around the corner because he does want you to have faith and exercise it. And even as you listen to Rachel and Stephen dialogue, I'm sure Rachel could convince us, hey, there were three other options we could have gone in L.A., and Stephen could have been convinced out of L.A. It didn't mean that there's only one thing you must do, and the writing is on the wall. They came to that decision, amongst other decisions, in the midst of uncertainty, but here's the lesson. You know, if you're a note taker, you want to write it down, or definitely write it down into your mind and heart. And it is coming from Psalm 37, that you're called to simply do the next right thing. So just take the next step of faith. You don't know the next 10 steps, just take the next one step. And in the midst of that, whatever you do, don't sin. Something my mother told me years ago when I was in the midst of an uncertain time, and I was very confused, similar to that experience, and she just said, Jeremy, whatever you do, don't sin. So keep trusting and just do the next right thing. And now you guys get to look back with all this objectivity. That's where I want to go next. Look at this community that you've built. You came here, I said the other night, you came here with, what, 5 suitcases? You're leaving with 13. It's too many. So you guys...
His hats.
Yeah, you became...
It's your fault.
Yeah, I know.
It's your fault. I didn't know about hats or shoes or... I was going to say I didn't know about Bibles. I did know about Bibles, but Prem. So, Matting and Jeremy Volo have been a wonderful blessing in my life, but those guys also have made me buy so many shoes and Bibles and hats that I have a full suitcase for my hats.
The kids and I have one suitcase each. Are you on 3
now? I think I'm on 3.
So you've become hoarders, but here's the other thing you've gone back with is you came here and did not have a community because, interestingly, Andrew Curry wasn't even here, so you're one connection. Austin, love that guy. He opened his arms to you and opened the world of community to you guys here. And now you're going back with all of these people saying, we're going to miss you guys. What has the Lord taught you about Christian community? Has he changed your perspective on that? What have been some of the lessons if you've dived in here? And then I'm going to follow up that question with asking, how should we be thinking about building Christian community where we go in life?
Whenever we came out here, I really struggled. One thing that we haven't said was whenever we decided to finally come here and we had everything sorted, our visa sorted, on the day that I handed in my notice for my teaching job.
And that was Tuesday. On that Sunday, I was due to announce to the church we were leaving.
Yeah. We found out that my mom had breast cancer. She's here, she's fine. But it was really, really difficult for me to leave. So community for me was everything. I, like all moms, put my kids first too. And I knew that if I wanted to train my children well, I needed to show them that following God's will was good. It wasn't sad. It wasn't pining over everything that you've left behind or feeling guilt. God wanted us to be here. So the first thing that we did was enroll them in Sunday school and tried to seek out friendships for them as well. Just they were really close as a family. My dad looked after my children and my brother's children, so they had their cousins. So actually in seeking relationships for them, I think the first Sunday, Sophia and Felicity really hit it off and played together, and then we went back to your guys' house. And we looked for ways to serve in the church as well. We just didn't want a random community. We wanted a community here. We wanted a community with the Crossroads staff that we were working with and with other like-minded believers.
Yeah, I just want to add a little bit to that. I want to back up a little bit. Kind of, it's irrelevant to this point. It kind of goes back to the last one. The day that we found out that Rachel's mom had cancer threw everything into a state of flux. Through everything completely, and do we come? Do we not? Like, what are we going to do? And I'll never forget, again, God using an individual. And we were sitting at our kitchen table. Rachel was in complete floods of tears, and at my head spinning, going, "Did I get this wrong? Is the Lord about to shut this door?" And it was 7 p.m., which is 11 a.m. LA time. And from time to time, I would have tuned into the chapel, TMS chapel, just for no other reason, just out of interest. I remember that day we tuned into chapel, sitting at our kitchen table, and Mark Z preached. And the story, Rachel had already said, the story of Abraham, Genesis 22, had kept coming before us in so many ways. It was such a helpful text to put a lot of things in perspective. And Mark stood up and he preached Hebrews 11, on the story of Abraham and Isaac. And he talked about There could be a trial that's come into your life that makes you question God's will, and yet God is sovereign and he wants you just to move forward and seeking to follow his will. And that formed a friendship with Mark that day, a bond from a guy that I'd never met again. And I think that when we came here, I remember seeing him out in the patio, and I went up to him and I said, Mark, you don't realize how big of a part you play in our story. And I think like from day one through Austin, through Mark, through Andrew, and then we arrived here and we sat at the back in Crossroads, and we didn't, a confession, we love you guys to come to night church. Our first day here, we didn't come to night church. We had come to first service, second service, and we're like, what on earth is this place we have come to? Like, there is like 8,000 people on this campus. We come from a town of like 7,000 people. So I'm like, what is happening? So I remember sitting in Crossroads thinking, how are we ever gonna survive here? Like, how are we ever gonna get to know people? And we'd heard about Grace Community Church being a big church. But Andrea prepared us well, and we tried to do what he said. We were intentional, and we just kind of forced our way into people's lives. So sorry if we kind of intruded on your life, but when you're 5,500 miles away from home, this becomes your family. And I remember going up to Jeremy and asking for an autograph. And after that, but I remember like going up to Jeremy and saying, hey, I'm Stephen. You know, we're here to serve as part of Crossroads. And we just dived into ministry from that first week. And our friendships were made through ministry. And that's how you build a community, guys. It's not just by showing up here on a Sunday. Like, that's great, but real community and real bond is made through ministry. As you dive into ministry, as you have hard conversations, as you get plugged in. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here on the fringes, the way that you're going to grow in this season and in this church is by just going along and being available. And, you know, asking your Bible study shepherds, is there something you can do? Is there a way you can serve? Because that then puts you in close proximity to other people. And God has used Rachel and I, brought, you know, the Volos, the Ings, the Williams, the countless other people, the Seeds. There's so many people here in our lives that we lean on and we have done ministry with. And we are so grateful that the Lord used those people. And then when it came time to consider leaving here and working through those opportunities, I had brothers, and Rachel had girls in her life that we could talk this through with and be like, this is what we're thinking. I know you don't speak Northern Irish. I know you don't understand the church, but hey, you know me well enough. And these guys know me because we've done life and ministry together. And so they could speak into my life and I could talk with them and, you know, be real with them. And so that's what I would say. Big thing we take away from here is the value of community. And I want to say, for the negative reasons, don't be alone. Don't be alone. You know, maybe the saddest story of someone being alone was David. You know, the man after God's own heart, and his greatest fall was because he wasn't where he should have been. He was alone. And I want to encourage you guys, don't go through college alone. Don't go through ministry alone. Like, get people, because, you know, there's a, you know, the Bible says, you know, a threefold cord's not easily broken. You know, we're designed for community. But it's just not good for us to be alone. And you need people in your life who can speak into your life and give you a read that you maybe don't have otherwise.
Let me just say this. What we see in the Moffat story and so many others is they stepped into uncertainty and the unknown, financial uncertainty, social uncertainty. They were leaving stability in a home they owned and a church they had to find community, but to enter this community for growth, and that's where the Lord was leading you. And so many people will tell you and model the exact opposite, and some of you are going to be tempted to leave good community to go somewhere for greater financial gain, greater career stability. And the afterthought is, oh, I wonder if there's church. I wonder if there's Christian community there. And what you see here is the unique story of saying, no, we know there's community. We know there's believers. We know that's where we need to go to grow. So we'll actually leave some of the stability and step into the unknown. And to see how the Lord's blessed that, the upside-down kingdom of the Lord, where you guys are going back richer. You're going back with all of your needs cared for, temporally, of course, but with a richer community, richer knowledge in the Lord, experientially and intellectually, you're going back now into this community that you're ready to invest in. So let me ask you,
I want to add something to that, Jeremy, because I'm just thinking about that. I don't know if you're here this morning and you're having a hard time with discipleship and you're like, I want discipleship. I want to be discipled. And you're maybe sitting here a little bit bitter because nobody's discipling you. I just want to reverse that a little bit. And I want to ask you, are you seeking discipleship? Like, discipleship's a two-way street. And you've got to be intentional in finding people, whether that's your Bible study leader or peers. Like, you got to make a move. Like, you got to go and seek that out. So I want to encourage you to be proactive in finding that discipleship that you need to grow in Christ.
That's great. So you've spent these 3 years, you've poured out, but you've also been poured into. What are you most excited about now as you cross the pond again and you're going to this ministry? What are you looking forward to as you jump January 4, as you say? We would say like the 4th of January or something, but January 4, you go back. What are you guys looking forward to in the future?
Milk that doesn't have a 3-week sell-by date.
Oh, so sour milk, got it.
So when I came here, we went to shop in Costco, and I lifted milk, and it was like out of date in 3 weeks. I'm like, at home, it's 2 days. What are you putting in your milk to preserve it for 3 weeks? It's not normal.
Oh, you don't have like, you're saying your expiration dates are sooner.
Yeah, with fresh food.
Wow.
Not preserved.
Yeah, because you have more cows than people, brother. It's a luxury. Okay.
Rich, what are you thinking?
I am looking forward to being able to go back and just get plugged in again to this church. We have met with a lot of the elders' wives, the elders too. I've met with the wives, and it just seems like a really sweet group, and they seem to be really looking out for us. They've shown us how much they love us. So just to get to know them and to work alongside them and to get to know that church. I'm also going back into work, and I'm going to be working alongside one of the elders' wives in a school. So that's going to be good. And just to be back with family and cousins and not have to be with my children 24/7. That's terrible. I don't mean that. It's been a blessing. Look at Jonah's face. I said it for him. It's nice to have that community back. We do have a community here, and we're really going to miss that too. Yeah, so yeah. It's a double-edged sword, but really looking forward to getting to know everybody.
Yeah. I think for me, it's taken the privilege from here. I want to just encourage you guys, and I mean this in the right way. This is not normal church. Grace Community Church is not normal. You are in such a blessed place with so many resources. We have so many elders, any of which could fill the pulpit over there. We've had the blessing of a pastor for 56 years that has been a giant in evangelicalism. And we have got the blessing of so much here that I'm now looking forward to taking back to my church. I cannot make my church Grace Community Church, nor do I want to. That's not the purpose. But I have left a country of 1.8 million people where everybody knows everybody. It's really small. Came to Los Angeles and been exposed to so much and seen so many ways of doing ministry and been so blessed by these 3 years that I can then take parts of this and I can begin to think through how we would do that in our church, how we can begin to change things, you know, asking the guys, hey, have you considered doing this? And not to say that Grace Community Church is the model everybody should follow or the pinnacle. That's not what I'm saying. But what I do want you guys to know is if you've come here for 2 to 3 years of college, just realize the privilege that you have in this place and what you're getting to be a part of. And the ministry that you get to be a part of here, you can take parts of that with you and it can shape you for the rest of your life in ministry and equip you to serve the Lord better. So, I mean, I'm really excited to go back and take some of the things I've learned from the classroom, and I've been so blessed by the education I've gotten, but the ministry that I have been a part of, had the privilege to be a part of, has just poured into me so much that I'm looking forward to pouring out and beginning to implement and just change things up a little bit at home.
Yeah, I also just want to say thank you to you guys who serve in children's ministry. And one thing that I'm actually really sad about leaving is the children's ministry. My kids have grown and in their knowledge of the scripture so much during these past 3 years. Stephen, we've seen a picture of a serpent and a staff, and Stephen just by chance said, does anybody know that story? And Jonah was able to tell him where it was found. He just knew it all so much, and they have a real love. They love Adventure Club, and maybe you think that that service is doesn't matter, but it really matters to these children, and you've really helped me to train up my children in the way that they should go. So I just want to thank you for that. And it's just been such a blessing, and that's one thing that we want to continue whenever we go home, that our children would continue in their knowledge and continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, I echo everything Rachel's just said. To have, like, 6 and 8-year-olds talking about the tabernacle or, like, things in Exodus, you know, and
it's really embarrassing to tell your 6-year-old daughter that's a daddy question. I don't know.
And then to tell your 6-year-old daughter that's an Abner question. But no, and I just think, you know, and I mean this really, really kindly, but we just love that our kids aren't learning the traditional Bible stories. They're learning a whole Bible, and I think that's something that we want to go home and continue to foster in our kids, but also in the church we're going to. Such a good thing to do is to expose our kids to all of God's Word. I want to echo what Rachel said. Thank you to every one of you, from nursery to Adventure Club to Sunday school to whatever it is you're involved in. Our children are the better for it, and you may not realize it, but you're doing a good work to the Lord.
Well, we love you guys. We are going to miss you tremendously. We'll have you back here, though, at points, maybe for a Shepherd's Conference. Stephen has to graduate in May, and so he'll be back to walk. Are you going to come?
I'm not sure.
Hang on, you need to give more than that.
I'm not sure. I've done enough. I am going back to work in a school.
Okay.
So whenever I left my job, they didn't hold it, and it was really sad. I wasn't sure whether I was what we would even be going back to, but I am going to work as a preschool teacher, and the school interviewed me and decided to wait for 3 months with a sub teacher. So they've waited 3 months. I'm not sure if they're going to be like, okay, you can go back to California for a weekend.
Yeah.
I also want to say, everybody's been keep saying like, oh, we'd love to come visit you. I'm being deadly serious when I say this. There is an open invitation. Like, if you want to come, or Crossroads wants to put together an STM, or you just want to come and hang out, like, our door is open, and we can also distribute you to the Berghuises. They're going to be about 2.5 hours south of us. But I genuinely mean that. Like, if you want to see and do ministry in a different context, like, we would love to have you. Come join us, and it's so good. And I want to say, we've come the other way. We've come from minute to massive. You would go the other way around, but it is so good to get out of your comfort zone, particularly you guys who are grace babies. Like, it's just good to get out and see a world that's out there that's not here, and to realize that the Lord's doing a work across the world. And so if you want to be a part of that and you want to come for a week or 2 weeks and come and serve, like, we would love to have you.
That's awesome. I want to invite Matt up, because we've got a few tokens of appreciation for you that we wanted to offer to you guys. And then in a moment, we'll have Dr. Chow come up and pray over you guys as well. But Matt, do you want to say a word to the Moffitts here?
Yeah, we love you guys. We will miss you guys so much. And we thought that we would give you both each the most appropriate gifts ever. You guys are probably the easiest people to give gifts to, because Steven will just text me all the things that he's eyeing. So I have like 5 options. And Rachel, you are really easy to give gifts to, because we are giving you, you can include Steven if you want to. If you don't want to, it's okay too. We're giving you a Ticketmaster gift card for you to be able to maybe have a date with Sarah Burgess or something like that. Go to a show or a concert once you get back. So that's in your email. You can check your email in a little bit. And Stephen, this is for you. The disparity between the two gifts is not because, you can look at it. You're allowed. What is it?
It's exactly what we talked about. A premium Bible. So here's the crazy thing. He is so right. I was at ETS last week in Boston, and Crossway was there, and Matt and I have been talking about this exact Bible. They had just released it, and it was 50% off. And I'm like, Matt, this is as beautiful in real life as it is, and it's 50% off. But Rachel has put a Bible ban on me, so it's like, I'm just saying, you know, in case you want to buy it.
That also needs context.
And she's only put a Bible ban on me because, like, every premium Bible I buy, I'm like, this is the one. This is it. And then, like, Joey will bring a Bible to A-Team or Jeremy will buy them. I'm like, oh, no, that's the one that I need. So this is now the one.
And so if you notice, Stephen's gift is a Bible and Rachel's is a concert. It's not because
fun one.
She doesn't like the Bible. It's because she's already really godly. So we love you guys and we'll miss you so much. And everything you've said today is just a perfect embodiment of the encouragement we've received from you guys by your testimony and just in real life. So we're super, super grateful for you guys.
Abner, do you want to come on up? And we'd like to just take a moment just to pray for the Moffitts as they head out. And Abner, maybe say a word or two and lead us in prayer. That'd be wonderful.
I am so grateful for your ministry that has gone all the way to this very moment. I think your counsel, what you have reflected upon, what the Lord has done providentially in your guys' lives, how you disseminated to us, that is what they just told you is gold of the priority of being in fellowship, of how to trust the Lord, how to do the next thing rightly, how to have faith in God in that way and just depend upon him, the perspective, being honest with where we can improve and how we can lead better, the nature of marriage. I mean, the list can go on and on and on and on. What you had right there were, like, sometimes I write down these pastoral comments that I want to disseminate to you all, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be until 2028, because I'm going to have to slip one out at a time. And it was like Family Feud, where they're like top 50 comments that I wanted to tell you, and it's like, check, check, check. I mean, it was good. You'll want to remember this. And so thank you for a faithful ministry here. That never stopped, right? People might coast at the end sometimes. You're going back. It's a busy time. And we need to be in prayer for this dear family. An international move is not easy, okay? It's one thing to travel internationally, which is also not easy. It's a different thing to move internationally. Even moving hats can be difficult. So we need to be in prayer. And here's something for all of us to remember. They've invested in you even as you've ministered in one way or another with them. And so they're going across the sea. We're talking about ministry to the ends of the earth. You're part of that now. Their ministry is your ministry, and your ministry is their ministry. And so just because there's geographical distance, and now we have less excuse than ever, don't forget them. They're our brothers and sisters across the sea. Their church is part of the church, and we're all part of that church together. We're all in ministry together. And so, yeah, I think it'd be amazing to have an STM go to you all, because it's a reminder of our fellowship in Christ, and that Acts 1 is real, and we're living it right now together. So thank you all. And I hope that that's ministered to your heart the way it has to mine. And let me just pray for them. Our God and Father, we are so grateful to you for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his salvation is great. It is great because it has done the impossible. It has taken those who were bound to darkness and sin, confined by their depravity to condemnation, inescapable by their own might. And it has liberated those whom you have chosen by your truth unto righteousness and rightness with God on high. You have done the impossible. And those who are most desperate and those who are desirous of such freedom, but it never could come, your Son accomplished that alone. And so we give you thanks and glory, but we are in awe that this work of the Lord Jesus was not just to us individually. It wasn't just to a few. In the end, we know that there will be those from every nation, tongue, and tribe. We know that there will be a vast host from one horizon to the other of those you have chosen, of those your son has died for, of those that your son preserved, of those your son intercedes for, of those your son will present to you in the end. And it is a vast host. And we know, as it is prophesied, that the Lord Jesus Christ will see his seed and his soul will be satisfied. And so we know that this dear family, the Moffat family, we thank you for their ministry to us. We thank you for even this past hour where they have given such wisdom that has come from you. They have disseminated a distillation of your word. And may that be blessed. May you confirm the work of their hands here and these truths and so many others that they have faithfully modeled, taught, and invested over the years, penetrate deep into the hearts of the people here and beyond. May that happen for the glory and honor of your son. And as they go across the sea, and as they minister faithfully in Ireland, may it be that you bless the work of their hands there. So that in the end, as we reflect back in glory, we realize that this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. And it is just a surreal honor to be part of his work, eternal work, in growing the saints unto that which is the most valuable, that which is the most eternal, the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hero, our Savior, the one who delivered us. May our hearts yearn for him, and may we then partner together for that singular cause that is Christ. Be with this dear family. Grant them traveling mercies. Grant them mercies as they finalize the transition from the United States out of here back to home and ministry. May their ministry start off sweetly and beautifully. May there be such joy. May there be wisdom granted. May there be fruitfulness. And may the labor be hard in the investment, but may it be sweet in the results. And may the Son of God, who has been faithful to them every step of the way, from even that one night putting the application in to the right message on a certain weekend, all of those things that you have done in your providence, may you take care of them in the days to come. May they never forget that the God who did is the God who does. And your faithfulness never ends. It is lifetime upon lifetimes, and it will carry them through. And Lord, be honored in all these things, not for our own sake, but do this so that in the end, we have to acknowledge this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no one like him. And he is all sufficient. And our lives are testimonies to that. Bless them as they go. And may we be continued faithful partners in fellowship with them. For the glory of your Son, in his name we pray. Amen.